You're listening to Valley of Praise on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, Mrs. Masuk, moving forward, let's. You know, I don't know why when it comes to teachers, we are always very respectful, Mrs. and sorry, hey, my daughter. You know, teachers always instill fear in us. Now, when you became a teacher, what were the most challenging things in terms of your faith and being a teacher? What was challenging? Did you meet challenges, like, for instance, were you required to come to school, say, on a Saturday? Because I know now for a fact that, and I was driving in Witbank not so long ago, and I saw it was on a Sabbath. And in actual fact, I think I'd been invited to come and preach at your church. And as I was driving there, I met school children wearing uniforms, going to school. Has such things ever happened to you as a professional teacher to say now you are required to catch up with the syllabus and you are required to work on a Sabbath?
For me, I think, as I said, teaching is my calling.
You're right.
Wherever I'm placed, that's a testimony for another day.
Mm.
I did not apply for those places.
All right.
Mm. Since I was a teacher. That's
Amen.
A testimony.
Amen.
I worked in this other school for 5 years.
Mm.
They just, the someone from the office, I don't know who gave my name there,
mm.
because I was waiting to go to another school.
Mm.
But I'm saying it's a testimony for another day.
Mm.
Okay, let me go to the challenges. Mm. Okay, so I'm saying where I am currently, I always present myself as an Adventist.
Right.
Because I know they need me.
Mm.
So I tell them I can't work on a Sabbath.
Mm.
Yes, they've tried. Mm. I don't wanna lie.
Right.
But for me, they've never. But I've faced some. You were talking about corporal punishment.
Mm.
Okay, I remember I was teaching grade 4 maths. Mm. There was this boy who was very, let me say, so-called naughty child, because there's no naughty child. Okay. This child was troublesome and disturbing and booing at me, you understand?
Mm.
And I think my BP shot up to 180. You see, sometimes we act according to our emotions.
Mm.
So I took a pot ruler, you know that rectangular prism ruler, the wooden one, a pot ruler, that 1 meter ruler.
Yeah.
And my intention was not to hurt him or to beat him.
Mm.
So my intention was to beat the table, that sound, to say, stop the booing.
Yeah.
So I called him nearer. So as I lifted the ruler to beat the what?
The
table.
Mm.
And he was trying to run away from the ruler.
Mm.
Unfortunately, I don't know how he did it. It landed. Remember, I'm using all my power to beat the table.
Yeah.
So it went straight on the palm, and I saw blood fusing. I think he cracked something like 10 centimeters. You know, it's a big one. And I saw myself I saw my career being finished then.
Mm.
So, yes, I went to the relevant HOD, to the principal. We phoned the parents. They explained the issue. The parents, it was a Friday.
Mm.
They cut the phone. And we didn't know what to do.
Mm.
Then the principal, the SMT, they called the parents, can we take the child to the hospital? They refused.
Mm.
Okay, my Sabbath and my weekend was something else. I was not sleeping. Early Monday morning was early to discuss what can we do with the principal, because I explained sincerely, you know, I was ready to suffer any consequences. My intention was not to hit the child, to beat the child, but you don't know what the child said, what he said at home. The principal had warned me that, you know, that these parents are bad news.
Mm.
Ne?
Mm.
I knew the kind of parents that the boy was coming from. So on that Monday, okay, what I did, I tried calling my friends. Everyone was blaming me, but didn't you know when you encounter a problem, they view it the other way. So everyone, the principal, everyone, my friends, colleagues were blaming me. So I was left alone in a corner, and that's when I remembered that there's only one person who can help me. It's God. I was praying. I was not sleeping, but I was praying. Then on that Blue Monday, I thought I was early. I think I arrived around, it was an office roundup. Office polar parents. Yo, yeah. I arrived around 6:30 a.m. The parents were already there. Then I tried to talk to them. I greeted them. They did not answer. They were in the office, the teachers, the SMT, and then because they were calling us, the parents were here except me. So when I got there, I just got the surprise. The parents are already here. So I tried explaining, apologizing. They were quiet. Instead, they were looking at me, especially the father, from head to toe. You know that look from head to toe. And all of a sudden, the father just storms and like just stands up and say, no, it cannot happen. I'm always called in this office because my boy did this, my boy did that. It cannot happen that all these teachers will be hating my son. No. Instead, that moment it twisted. The father started looking at the mom. Do you understand this? He was talking to the man. No, it can't be that. All these teachers, they don't know each other. But my boy is always troublesome in the office. It can't be. Then he said to me, I apologize for what happened. We will deal with it at home. Don't worry about the wound because I had offered even to pay the bills and said, don't worry. He will heal. He has to learn that this is a school. He has no, he shouldn't disturb other kids who paid school fees, and he was, you know. So at that moment, I can say prayer helped me. I saw God helping me in that challenge. That was a big challenge that I can remember. There are many challenges, but this one stands out because, you know, even the government was saying at first you are not allowed to carry, even to carry a tool, you understand? So there are many challenges that the teachers are facing. The imagine I was teaching grade 4, but some of them were carrying knives. We have to make sure, yes, I've taught in a school at Spring Valley. I was teaching grade 7. They were carrying knives, and you have to talk in a way that I don't know. That's why I said being a Christian, the God in you will intervene, and then the child will start crying, telling you his problems, and will hand over the tools, not you taking away from them. I think the other thing that we are missing as teachers, we don't mother these kids. They are coming from different backgrounds. So you have to understand, as we learned psychology, that you we in sociology work, they're coming from different backgrounds. Some of them are distressed. So, and they are not taught. The only thing they see their mothers fighting, and they think that's the way to solve the problem. So they bring these tools to what?
To
To
school.
the school, so that anyone, if there's a problem, they'll use it.
But is it
And I
not
think,
is it not too much to ask the teachers to be the mothers and fathers? Is it not too much of a burden to bear when you look at the level of children who come from broken homes? Does it not become too much for the teachers?
It depends. The teachers who are not called, I think it would be too much for them, because at the end of the month they are always waiting to receive the salary, né? So for those who called, as I said, you might be surprised. Mina, actually, I never wanted to be a teacher. I don't want to be around the kids. But one list, I'm there. Automatically, this motherhood, nature, this, you feel sorry for them, because we've got a book where you should be writing, okay, for us, the 20 years teachers, we no longer write, it sticks in the brain. So you have to write the background of each child, so that you understand, okay, this child is behaving like this because the father always comes home drunk, and when he's drunk, he abuses the mother, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. So you have to understand and try to tell stories with moral endings, something like that, mm-hmm. so that the child can see a different environment. And again, you have to bring that children, as you said, is it not too much? It's not too much. Mm. You bring that child closer. Okay, we treat children the same, mm. but there are other things that you have to do to an individual child, mm. so that he can see that it's not everyone who doesn't care about me. Mm. The teacher loves me. Mm. And what we do as teachers, I think it's us Christians, Christian teachers who do that. Even, do you know, even you know the background, the father is able to buy shoes, mm. but this child has been coming with this torn shoe for almost a quarter. Mm. It doesn't take much mm. to go to Jet or Ackermans. You mm. buy that 150 rand shoe. Mm. It's a once-off thing. Mm. You know, it encourages the child. Mm. But the problem, some of the teachers, it's not all of us, mm. of course, who've got that heart. It's not mm. all of us. So if I don't know, because the devil will always be there fighting everything that is right. Mm. So if teachers really mother these children, this world will be in a different state.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
Yeah,
very challenging. You know you are saying yeah. things that are making me wonder, you know, but and I'm asking myself this question: is the things that you are saying, are these things trained at school, or are these things that God has inspired in you?
They are not trained. I think they are inspired.
Oh, yes.
When it's a calling, I think God gives you a package.
Mm,
and it's not me alone. Mm. Remember, there are other Christians, mm. and we encourage each other.
Mm.
And there are those teachers that we know that, those ones, they don't want to hear this. But as they see us doing those good things, and we are having less problems, mm. eventually they ask, how do you do it?
Mm.
Then we tell them, hi, how can you ask that question? Because you refuse to do ABC, we are doing it. It doesn't take you 150, you on a month, and you don't buy that pizza. You think of a child, and you don't do it as a habit to one child.
Mm.
You just, when there is a need, because you know you don't want to just give for the sake of giving.
Mm.
You just attend to those dire needs to show them the fruits of the Spirit, I can say,
mm.
from the Bible. I think reading the Bible, if you are somebody who's going to church
mm.
and reading your Bible, it will shape you. I mean, I can say, it's not me, it's
mm.
the church.
mm.
Because we learn these things at church.
Mm.
They are taught how you should conduct yourself.
Mm.
Yes, I did psychology. But when you come to the classroom situation, it's a different thing. And fortunately for Isabata, my church,
mm.
They teach these things usually in the afternoon, how to conduct yourself in the public. You are carrying you are always carrying a name. Your lifestyle speaks volumes. You understand. So wherever you go, you should understand. Oh, yes, I might be a teacher, but I'm a Christian. I'm a disciple. I can do ABC, but there are many people who are looking up to me, even those that I don't know.
Amen.
Because when you are working there, you don't know how many people you are inspiring. Who are looking up to you? You understand? Yeah.
Hey, powerful.
So you have to be careful.
Powerful. Now, as we wrap it up, somebody then says, is listening to us and says, I want to be a teacher. I want to be a teacher. You've got 22 years experience of being a teacher. And you've got, I don't know how many years of being a Christian. What words of advice would you say give to somebody who wants to be a teacher and is a Christian, or just who wants to be a teacher? What is there anything that you can share with someone this moment to say, if you are going to be a teacher, 1, 2, 3?
Oh, okay. If you want to be a teacher, the first thing you should know that you have to work an extra mile.
Okay.
You have to be a hard worker to start up with. Besides praying and these other things, because you can't be a teacher and not be a praying support.
Okay.
Your career will end, because there are a lot of things that are happening, as I mentioned, children coming with those knives and other. So you have to be a hard worker, and you have to be yourself. Be yourself. Understanding also that there are these little ones around you. You have some of the things you just have to deny yourself. The things, okay, the other things that we can love is adults, ne? So, but you, because of these little ones, for example, okay, dressing. I can, you are dressing in front of these little ones. So the way you dress, they are going to imitate the way you dress. So you have to dress in a way that is not revealing or something like that, you see. And the fact that they have to know that you are carrying a Christian a name. You have to be faithful. As a teacher, when you teach your kids, and then let's say you make a mistake, acknowledge that mistake to your kids. I am sorry. I learn to apologize. I am sorry. I did wrong. The problem, some of us want to be always right. If your kids see that you are faithful, when you do wrong, let's say I punish a child wrongly. He was supposed to play, but I punished him wrongly. You have to acknowledge and apologize. And as a teacher, you should be somebody who is, what can I say, who doesn't complain, because we cannot compare our salary to the things that we are doing. Sometimes you have to find yourself buying charts so that your class look conducive, so that your class should be conducive to the learners, and whatever, so that it can be bright, you see. And you have to be somebody who is a problem solver, because the parents, when I can state one of the instances, you know, these little ones, they come during play time, you hear them talking, you are listening to them as a teacher. So they say stories, they imitate what's happening at home. So you have to be tactful, because some those tell the stories that are sensitive. So you have to be a problem solver. Like as I mentioned, there was this one instance, I had to call the parents, and I did not tell them what I heard, but I just told them that I'm seeing my girl is the behavior is different these days. Is there something that is happening at home? Then, because I know exactly what is happening at home, I don't know whether that is lying, but I probe questions. I say testimonies. Then, so that at the end of the day, the parents will be chatting. They chat and they speak out. And at the end of the day, so, wow, that's why my child is behaving like this. Then now you are attacking at the problem. Because you remember, you first prayed about it, and before you researched before calling the parents. So when you call them, you have to be tactful. Don't make the parents angry. Don't let down the child.
Yeah.
So you are there in between, trying to solve this, match this family together again. So, and as another thing, as a teacher, you have to be innovative. When you step in the class, your class should be inviting. So the colors of the charts and everything, you don't just put charts, and you don't just put anything. Put the charts, thinking behind, thinking whether it's going to benefit the children or not. Don't just display a chart for the sake of displaying. Yeah, and as a teacher, there are games that you can play. And if you can, even things, your habits, like you should read a lot, research a lot, something like that. You go for workshops. So, in short, if you want to be a teacher, that you have to be somebody who understands even the environment that they place you in. Remember, you can come from a different environment and be placed in a different environment. Let's say that worship is like in my area, a lot. My boss is a Muslim, and the area, most of them are into this amadlozi. So you don't have to despise, but you find a way also your lifestyle, and then you see them changing when they are looking at the teacher. And it's nice at the end of the year when they ask the boss, can the teacher take our kids to the next grade? You see, then you feel good. Okay, so I made an impact.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Can I wrap it up by saying, better you than me? I don't think I can be a teacher. Never.
You can. It doesn't happen in a day, but eventually, as you are around these little ones, even if you've got a stubborn heart, it melts. You change. Most of the teachers, you see them, they are loving, they are patient. It's because of what you meet at school. So if even at home, when my own kids or my husband does something, eventually, because they are used to this being patient.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Sisa Senkosi Masuku. Wow. That was an exciting one. Faith meets profession, a Christian's journey in the workplace. What is your profession? I want to invite you to the Valley of Praise. Text us on +27734703520. We want to hear your profession. What is it that you do? What are the challenges? We've heard it from a teacher. Exciting times. We live in times where teaching has become a dangerous profession, but she's doing it with the love that comes from God. We just want to say thank you to you, Sister Senkosi Masuku, for coming through to the Valley of Praise Adventist World Radio and sharing your powerful story with us. Church still continues. Good morning.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.